There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again. My guest today, Mary Kay Severese, is an award-winning author and speaker born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. She earned a degree in accounting from City University, New York, and worked within the insurance and financing world. As an author, she is known for her quirky book titles, as demonstrated by her debut novel, Tigers Love Bubble Bath and Obsession Perfume. Who knew? This book is a contemporary spiritual mystery that transcends three genres: mystery, spirituality, and romance, and won 8 National Book Awards. The first book in her YA fantasy adventure trilogy, The Girl in the Twill Wallpaper, was published in September. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Oh, good morning. It is such a pleasure to be here with you and your audience, Patty. What a joy and a blessing.
Well, Mary, I'm excited to have you on the show, too. I enjoyed hosting you on my blog, and you just kind of grabbed me with your interesting titles and your history, and I'm excited to talk to you today. I did want to share with you, you and I are kind of, in a way, neighbors from way back, because I was born and raised out on Long Island in New York.
Really? What part of Long Island?
South Shore. The name of the town was Bayport.
Okay.
And yep, I also... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, yes, we are truly neighbors then. Yes, absolutely.
I have to say it's been over, goodness, I want to say well over 30 years, though, since I have been back on Long Island. My only family living now, close family, is my sister who lives in the Adirondack country of New York. So when I go back to visit, that's where I go. Is upstate, so I haven't been out on the island in quite some time. But also, you mentioned Connecticut, and I had a great aunt and uncle that lived in, goodness, what was the name of the town? Sandy Hook, Connecticut. They had a farm up there.
Yes.
So I spent a lot of time up there in the summers. So, yeah, you and I kind of have a connection there, Mary.
We do. We were neighbors there as well. That was about 40 minutes from me where I lived. And I lived right outside of Hartford, Connecticut. So you and I were about 40 minutes apart there as well.
How
so
about
small
that?
World sometimes.
Yes, it definitely is. And now you're in Florida, and I have several relatives down there now, but I have never been to Florida myself. But I have cousins that live down there in Florida. So, yeah, even though I'm out here in Colorado, there's still ties to the East Coast.
There certainly is.
Mary, you started out in a career involving finance and insurance, which is, in my opinion anyway, kind of a far cry from a writing career in a speaking ministry. So could you tell us a little bit about what caused that jump from that career to a whole different career?
Oh, yes, Patty, I would love to. Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, as you noted. And in the 80s, as I was receiving my degree and studying at the university, City University, I did make a choice that I needed to have something where I would always be able to support myself. Back then, it was basically something in finance. Did I ever dream of writing? I always had these ideas of fantasy stories, but nothing in my wildest dreams at that point projected me in that direction. It was strictly to begin a career in finance, which I did. I worked in the insurance industry within the accounting departments, and I went on to finance with mortgage lending. I had met my husband. We got married, and from Brooklyn, New York, we moved to the state of Massachusetts.
Would you tell us, were you the type of person as a kid that just couldn't wait to get the essay assignment? was writing something or were there childhood experiences that made you think, oh, I'd like to be a writer? And also, I'd like to know a little bit, Mary, about your Christian experience as a child. Did you grow up in a Christian home, or did your Christianity come to you later on in life?
I grew up Catholic. And when you grow up as a little girl in a Catholic household, so we are talking late 60s, early 70s, every Sunday I would be part of the choir. And I worked in my Catholic church in the sense that I would sweep within the pews and the altar. And I loved being around the nuns. So the Catholic life that I had was very, very rewarding as a child. And you know, let's face the elephant in the room. I mean, within the Catholic, you know, church, we hear so much abuse that took place back then. And that's something I'm looking to address today, but it is the elephant in the room. The childhood that I grew up with within my Catholic church, it was lovely for a young girl. And back then in those years when we were just little children, everybody would raise their hand and say, yes, I want to become a nun. I want to become a priest.
Sure.
And Patty, I went on to Catholic high school in Brooklyn. I finished my degree, but I did also continue at St. John's University. So my Catholic education really did follow me. Was I a very good Catholic? When I think back, you know, as a young adult, I did waver. You know, I did get married in the church. My children were baptized. I followed all the rituals because you had to within your family. I did stray. I mean, honestly, I didn't go to church every week, but something always brought me back, and I always found joy in the Catholic Church.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mary, and thank you for sharing that. I was raised in the Methodist Church back home, but then when I moved here to Colorado, just about all of my friends were Catholic, and I married a Catholic man. So I actually converted to the Catholic Church, but now I'm not with the Catholic Church anymore. So I kind of have an eclectic background when it comes to my church history. But yes, I can understand exactly what you are saying, that there's a very strong tie to that particular denomination when you are raised in it. And I know this from friends and relatives that I deal with on a daily basis. So I certainly understand that. And yeah, don't we all stray, though? Especially in our younger years, when we're young and foolish.
Yes. And then once my children were born, as I said, they were baptized. And through the years, I remained faithful. What I did was not only raising the children in the Catholic faith, and my husband is also Catholic, but I became a religious education teacher within the church in Connecticut. So I spent 13 years with my children, actually the youngest daughter. I just followed her all the way through her confirmation. And once I finished that journey, God says, well, I'm not done with you yet. I was introduced to becoming a Eucharistic minister. And the way I proceeded with that, as a Eucharistic minister in the Catholic Church, what that allows you is the privilege to serve the Holy Communion to the parishioners and to bring it to people that cannot leave their homes. They have to stay in bed, the bedbound, and also nursing homes. So I loved visiting nursing homes. That was my favorite part of this ministry. Patty, I can tell you the connections you make with these incredible people was just such a wonderful blessing.
And you bring such a blessing into their lives, Mary, and that must be very rewarding for you.
It is so, so rewarding. And I continued with that in Connecticut. Just recently, we became full-time residents in Florida, and I plan to continue with that ministry in the new church that we were members of for the last several years, now that I will be here full-time. It becomes such a joy, as you know, just speaking with people, and they just love to talk about their faith and to take communion from you. So it's wonderful.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for sharing that with us too, Mary. Well, tell us about your writing journey. When you first started writing, did you think you would become a published author? And what did that journey look like for you?
Patty, it was a goal in my soul and heart. I wanted to become a traditionally published author. Yeah, I'm an overnight success, a 10-year overnight success. It takes a long time. And over 10 years ago, back then, we had snail mail. So when I wrote my first manuscript, it took me 2 years before I went through all the publishing houses that were still available to authors. And Patty, I dealt with rejection after rejection after rejection. So you learn to build a tough skin. It was such a pleasure in my heart and such a passion of my soul that's what kept me going. I always dreamed maybe someday, but I had other ideas. And where you ask that my writing journey, really, I began to write. I said, I have to prove to myself that I can finish a manuscript. And that started when my children were in high school. That is the journey back then. But as I said, it was one rejection after another.
What is your favorite aspect of the writing process?
The creativity, Patty. It's that's what gets me going in the mornings or any time of the day. It's when I delve into that manuscript and the ideas just start flowing. That's what gives me the inspiration to keep going. And as I said, it took me over 10 years before I signed that first contract with a traditional publisher. That was my first novel, Tiger's Love, Bubble Baths, and Obsession Perfume. Who knew? And that is a mystery romance with a spiritual twist. And Patty, I brought into that novel the aspects of my Catholic faith into my protagonist, Angie Pantera's life, which is absolutely wonderful to share with everybody.
Well, I know that you had said, I read it on your website, that your starting point when you get ready to write a novel is a quirky title.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. A quirky title inspired by an event in my life. So my first novel, The Tiger's Love Bubble Bath, several years ago, I had visited a wildlife reserve in St. Augustine, Florida. And this was literally an old folks' home for big cats. Big cats such as lions and tigers and cougars and panthers. And at the end of the tour, I come to this big vat behind a thin cage overflowing with bubbles. And the wildlife handler is standing on a ladder, and I'm wondering what is going on, and out walks this incredible creature, a 600-pound Siberian tiger, walks across the plank, looks as though he's taking off his robe, and slips into this vat of overflowing bubbles, and this wildlife handler sprays Obsession perfume on his tongue, and he laps it up like a cocktail. And he is loving every moment. And Patty, I was in such awe of this situation. I said, Tiger's Love Bubble Bath and Obsession Perfume. That is the title of my next manuscript and novel. And that's where that quirky title.
I think that is so cool.
Thank you. And I need to tell you, audience, that it is, the title is very much a metaphor, because as I came to find out, these big cats are tossed away in the sense that they were part of old circuses or old TV shows or movies or even people that had them as pets at some point. They will then arrive to this old folks wildlife reserve. I mean, they're just so incredible. So this was the metaphor for being tossed aside. And my protagonist, Angie Pantera, as I developed my novel, she was tossed aside by her husband after 25 years of marriage. So that is the metaphor, because people say, well, how does this title, you know, explain? Oh, I say, oh, it's connected. It absolutely is.
Sure. My granddaughter would probably enjoy to talk to you, because she's in pre-vet classes right now. She wants to be a veterinarian, and her thing, she wants to work with big cats, lions and tigers and things like that. So she doesn't want to be your typical, you know, puppy dog and kitty cat vet.
Oh, wow. That is wonderful to hear. Good for her.
So we'll see where that goes. But she's pretty much got her heart set on, you know, working with the exotic animals. Your next book, Mary, it's the first in a trilogy, actually, and it's titled The Girl in the Twa Wallpaper, which I didn't even know how to pronounce the word twa until I happened to listen to another interview that you had done. So shame on me. So first of all, tell us, what is the definition of twa, which is spelled T-O-I-L-E for our listeners?
Yes, and you pronounced it correctly, and phonetically it would be T-W-A-L-L, toile. And toile is a French word, and two centuries ago, it originated from Joie, France. And it then spread like wildfire throughout Europe. It was brought to the United States, and it is very much a part of our current lives and has been. Toile is a very, this wallpaper, fabric, decorative object that tells a story. It paints a picture. It's usually two very vibrant colors, and you will see people dancing and people living their lives. It can be architectural. It can be historical. But it is such a vibrant portrayal of objects and lives that I became fascinated with it. I had this wall covering in my home in Connecticut, and I would walk by it and I would say to myself, okay, I see romance. I see intrigue. I see betrayal. And I crafted the first of my series, The Girl in the Twa Wallpaper. It is the Star Writers Trilogy. I get the same thing, Patty, it's so funny, because I will be interviewed and people will say, toilet? Is that toilet? And so it's funny. It's a cute little opening. But no, toile is a beautiful piece of art that tells a story.
And when I think back, Mary, I probably had, I guess you'd call it, some tall furniture then, because back many years ago, I had a set of furniture. It was very heavy wood, and the cushions, like on the sofa and on the love seat, had like a Western theme.
Yeah.
You know, like wagon wheels and, oh goodness, it's been so long since I've had it that I can't remember. But I mean, yeah, I know what you're talking about now, because when you looked at it, it kind of told a story. So, oh, that's really neat.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be just colonialish looking. It can be anything. It can be wagon wheels, right? Things that will tell a story. It's just such a fun piece of artistry to look at. And as I said, it's wall coverings, it's fabric. People wear it on their clothing. I mean, they make beautiful dresses out of toile, quite expensive dresses, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I'm sure. So tell us about this series, and why did you choose to write in the fantasy adventure genre? That's an interesting genre to write.
Yes, I love, you know why, there to me, there's just so much reality in our lives. So I love to bring the reader into a space that takes them on an adventure. And while you're on that adventure, I like to give you little twists and turns here and there. And I like to put the girl in the twill wallpaper, Lily, Calla Lily, into the twill and have her try to find her way out. So basically, it's a novel that does transcend time because I'm bringing a little bit of the past into the present, and the adventure takes us to Florence and Siena, Italy, which is unbelievable in itself. And I had the pleasure many years ago when my children studied abroad, two of my children, that I was able to visit them, my first trip to Europe, let alone Italy, that, Patty, I was so fascinated by the history and the culture in Florence and Siena that I had to incorporate it into the story.
Oh, it sounds fascinating, Mary. It really does. And I've read some fantasy in the past, too, and it just, it kind of blows me away, the story world that people create with their fantasy books. It's like, wow, let's talk about imagination and creativity. You know, there it is. So it's probably a book that I would enjoy to read if I can ever get through my to-be-read list. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure you have so many books to read on your list. Fantasy adventure, it's just a fun genre to bring a reader into, as we just discussed, because they are taken away. You know, we deal with so much reality in our lives and, you know, everything that we've been through the last several years. It's just nice to escape somewhere, isn't it? That's what I love.
Exactly. Yes, yes, I definitely hear that. At this point, we're going to take a short break. I'd like to remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Mary Kay Savarese. Mary is an author and a speaker. We've been talking so far about the books that she has written. I love her quirky titles, one of which is Tigers Love Bubble Bath and Obsession Perfume. Who knew? And she has explained to us where that title came from. And we were just talking about her, the first book in her new fantasy series, which fantasy adventure young adult series titled The Girl in the Twall Wallpaper. And she explained to us what twall is. And we've been having an interesting discussion about that. If you would like to listen to this show again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, we'd love to have you do that as well. You can find it on archive on my website, which is Patty Sheen, that is spelled PattiSheene.com. And at the very top of that page, you'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab. Underneath that tab is a list of all the shows that we have aired to date. And under each show is a more information tab, and that's where you will find Mary's website, which is MaryKSavarese.com. Also links to her books. I'll have that there for you. Mary, as you know, on Step Into the Light, our guests frequently share a time in their lives that was a dark time, a difficult time, how they found their way back to light. Do you have a time like that, maybe in your writing experience or some other experience that was just really difficult for you and you had to struggle to find your way back into the light?
Oh, absolutely. I do have a time in my life that I would love to share with your audience. And it's something that women deal with very much, and we may be embarrassed over it because we think we can handle everything in our lives and we won't reach out for help. When my youngest was graduating college, so that was 5 years ago or so, I began to experience such severe anxiety, none that I had ever experienced before in my life. I was ashamed. Like, I can handle everything. How can I possibly, you know, be dealing with something like this? But what got me through this very difficult time, besides my faith, was very much my writing. Because at that time, I had not been published yet. And I thought to myself, geez, if I never get published, that's okay. I had in my writing and coming up with all these ideas was such a passion for me that this got me through a very difficult point in my life. So my point that I'm trying to say is if you are dealing with something difficult in your life, if you can find a hobby, something that you love, something that gets your passion going, it's such a part of your soul, it can be a very big helpful time of the situations that you're dealing with in your life.
Well, yes, I can understand that, and thank you for sharing that, Mary. I can identify with what you're talking about because I have a background. I spent most of my career in nursing and psychiatric nursing, and when I experienced depression, I could not accept the fact that I was depressed. I didn't see it. I didn't see it in myself, and I didn't want to. Once other people pointed it out to me, I didn't want to deal with it. I just had that feeling that, no, you can do this on your own without help. So I certainly understand what you're saying. And yes, you're right. You have to focus on a hobby or on something that involves service to other people maybe to be able to come out of that dark time. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that with us.
Exactly. You hit that nail right on the head because if we just sit and you're dwelling, as you said, on what's bothering you the most, then it just seems to be so exaggerated, right? But when I look back to that point in my life, I feel that it was truly a blessing that I went through that. I learned how to deal with the situation. I was able, and I still deal with anxiety, but now I have the tools that I can use to deal with it and be productive. And for me, my hobby at that point was writing and trying to become published, and that was such a big help to me. And if I just may address your audience too, I am so grateful that the reviews that the Girl in the Tall Wallpaper received, one was from U.S. Review of Books, and they compared the Girl in the Tall Wallpaper to A Wrinkle in Time and also to Doctor Who, which was I was just so thrilled and blessed to receive that, Patty. And the other review for Midwest Review, even though we may be stressing young adults, what they had said in the review is they recommend it for high schoolers and older. Anybody that loves fantasy, adventure, and romances, because I intertwine not just one romance, but several romances, a coming of age, a 20-something, a first-time 30-something, and unfortunately a divorce that takes place within the novel. So there are many different aspects within The Girl in the Tall Wallpaper I'd love to share with the audience.
Mm-hmm. And those romances, I'm sure, are also portrayed within the framework of Christian morality. So
yes, yes, Patty, I write for the Christian marketplace, and
yes,
I am so thrilled and so proud of that aspect, because we can address things very, you know, subtly, right? We don't have
exactly
to exploit, and it's just so beautiful in that sense, and it's what it is, and you can leave it to the reader's imagination.
Exactly. Yes, I agree with you. I will agree 100% with what you're saying, Mary. Thank you for that. Well, you also have a speaking ministry, and one of your offerings is titled, I love this title, Why Sin is a Blessing. We could probably do a whole show on that alone. Would you speak briefly to that subject and what message you share with that talk?
Oh, I would love to, Patty. And yes, I've done several podcasts on that. But Why Sin is a Blessing. I took S-I-N, and to me, it basically stood, I took the letters, right? And S for me stands for sight. I will explain this. The I stands for invite, and the N stands for new. And let me explain how each of these apply to the other. Sight. Everything as a Catholic that we've been dealing with in the last several years, people have left the Catholic Church, and we're not getting young people to come back. So I always found it so inviting to just, you know, try to bring somebody back into the fold within the Catholic Church. And you don't have to bring them directly to a mass and have them re-exposed to that or have them newly exposed. Bring them into a nice silent church and just sit down with them and just listen and take in the smells and take in the sights. And I loved it, even when these churches are dim. Now, some of the most incredible churches, there are such beautiful cathedrals throughout the United States. But you don't need a cathedral necessarily, just any church. And in Europe, some of them are just so incredible. So for me, the essence sin is to begin there, the sight. The I, invite. Bring somebody with you. Have them sit with you. And just invite them and re-invite them into that world and let them experience it again and new. And thank you for the joy in appearing on your blog. And that's where I talked about it's very important not to just say, I go to church and I'm a nice person and I'm this. But we're supposed to bring, to evangelize, to bring more people into Christianity. And that's what new is. And I strive to do that with my writing, by bringing in beautiful stories and bringing in the faith aspects.
Very nice. I try to tell people that I don't see myself as a person who is religious. I see myself as a person who is in relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And to me, that's the most important aspect of our faith, is our relationship with Jesus. But I know what you're saying about the Catholic Church, Mary. You know, I've been in several other churches, but there is something about, if I walk into the Catholic Church for a funeral or whatever, of course, I don't attend the Catholic Church anymore, but there is something so reverent about walking in that door in a Catholic church that it's just different to me from other denominations.
Oh,
and as much as I love my church,
you.
I mean, my church is a beautiful church too. We have a beautiful sanctuary and everything, but there is just something, I don't know, very reverent about that Catholic church in my community.
Yeah, and many times I'm asked, you know, other faiths, absolutely. You know, if it just brings us to that main spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all Christians. We're coming back to Jesus. Does it matter? No. It's where you feel at home. And
mm-hmm.
I truly, my church in Connecticut, it was, I always felt so at home there. And my new church in Florida, to me, it's just a welcoming feeling. And I just love that. I love that.
Yes. Yes. You just feel very comfortable there. And I do some little bit extra things for my church. I do, for a long time I did our bulletin, and now I do our newsletter once a month. So I have to go over there to the office sometimes to, you know, get information, gather information and such for those projects. And there's times when I just enjoyed being by myself in the whole building and just walking into the mm-hmm. sanctuary and just spend a few quiet moments there. So yeah, we are very blessed at our church because we have two outstanding musicians. We have an organist and a pianist, and they practice for hours together every week to bring us the most wonderful music on Sunday mornings. So even without that music, though, to just spend the time alone for a few minutes, and it's just really inspiring, and it kind of helps you go on with your day or whatever else you're dealing with in life. So, yeah, I know what you mean there.
Yep, and I was going to say, and it's not like you have to sit there and just think you have to pray and pray and pray. Prayer could be a silent meditation, just dwelling on the cross and on the statues. And they
yes.
have, the Catholic churches have such incredible statues. And when I did have the joy and the pleasure of visiting my children when they studied in Florence, we were able to visit the Vatican. And that, Patty, was one of the most incredible experiences in my life. And to just be able to meditate it there was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, I love the way that you take a word like sin and make an act.
Acronym
out of it.
Out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, that's pretty neat. Yes, yes. Well, yeah, that sounds like a talk that would be really interesting to hear, Mary. Well, some of your other speaking topics focus on accomplishing goals later in life. Hey, that's my thing because I am, believe me, later in life, much later than you are. So what advice would you give to those who have retired or are facing empty nest syndrome or perhaps dealing with loss of a spouse and having to find their own identity as a single person, no longer part of a marriage relationship or dealing with some other major life change? What are your recommendations?
And I always love to say to everybody is never give up on yourself. Never. You're going through a difficult time in life. As I said, I had the hobby of my writing. I had set a goal, but that any hobby, it doesn't have to be writing. It can be gardening. It could be visiting with people. It can be anything, puzzles, something that will keep your mind preoccupied and something you know that gives you joy. And if you have a goal that you set in your life, people will always try to put you down and tell you, oh, you're not good enough, you're not that. But passion and it's burning in your soul and your heart, never ever give up on yourself. As I said, it took me over 10 years. And I finally said, I was approaching a big number birthday. And I said, God, what am I going to be, 100 years old before this happens? I'll be dead.
Yeah.
Well, he looked down on me and left. And within a couple of days, I was working with a publisher that was interested. They sent me the contract. So it was perseverance and patience. And I know it's very hard to have patience, but if it's something that is such a part of you, this joy you have within doing something, stick with it. And I can promise you it'll happen. Not overnight, but it'll happen because that's the way it happened for me.
Oh, what a blessing, Mary. And I'm so glad that you found success in the writing field. I've been working at it for way longer than 10 years, so. You are very fortunate and very blessed to have found the success that you have and the pleasure that you have in pursuing that career. So thanks so much for telling us all about that and sharing your enthusiasm because you obviously are very enthused.
It is such a pleasure to share with your audience and at this truly wonderful time of the season. So it's a blessing for me as well.
Yes, we're into the Christmas season. That's always an exciting time, and definitely, I've just had my house remodeled here, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm barely getting things back together. Now I've got to get my Christmas decorations out and get busy with, you know, getting that done. So it's always an exciting time, although, you know, without my granddaughter's up in college now. It's like, I want her here to help me decorate. She was always so good at it, but I'm not that creative when it comes to decorating.
Yep. You don't have to do very much. If you have the spirit in your heart, right, it's a wonderful time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So.
Mary, is there anything else you'd like to share with us that maybe I haven't mentioned, a topic that I haven't touched on that you're thinking, oh, man, I sure wish she had asked me about that?
Thank you so very much for the opportunity. I would love to invite your audience to visit my author website, www.marykcsavarese.com. www.thebeautyhub.com. As you said, they can find the information on your site as well. But once a month, you know, if you sign up with an email, once a month I will pick somebody and send a hard copy of The Girl in the Twill Wallpaper to you. I have events there. Any book groups that might be interested, get in touch with me. My contact information is right there. Right now I am doing a book blog tour, which is fun. You can follow me, and my books are on sale everywhere. Any independent bookstore, it might not be on the shelf, but you can order it. I'm on Amazon. I'm on Barnes & Noble. And one more cute thing, Patty. I am working with Adopt a Cat Foundation, and they are going to be naming kittens after characters in The Girl in the Twill Wallpaper. We're going to be giving away books to people as they adopt kittens or cats. So it's a wonderful time.
Oh, wow. That sounds neat. I have my little companion is a cat. We had, my husband and I had dogs for years, but he passed away 5 years ago. And when I had to euthanize my last husky, because he had a brain tumor type thing going on. Anyway, my friend called me and said, "You know, when God closes the door, he opens a window." And I said, "Don't go there. I am so not ready." And she said, "Hear me out." And her son had brought home a kitten that his wife was really allergic to. And she said, "I've had him here for 4 days, but I have 4 dogs and 3 cats. I don't need another one." Well, of course, I fell in love with him. And so he has been my faithful companion ever since for the past 2 years. So.
and that is what, Patty, that is one of my most favorite sayings. When one door closes, God will open up an even better window or door for you every single time. You just have the faith that he will, and it will be that way.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's been a delight and a joy to talk to you, and may God continue to bless you in your writing endeavors. I'll look forward to hearing about the next books in your adventure series.
Thank you so very much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered.
Again, I'm reminding you to please go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab. Actually, this show and the last couple of shows will be on the homepage for a while, but if you go to the Blog Talk Radio tab, you'll find a listing of all the shows we've recorded to date. And under each one, that's where you'll find a more information tab. Thank you for spending time with us today. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a